Welcome to our podcast. This is David King. I want to take just a second and thank you for joining us. Enjoy the message. All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good
morning. All right. You sound good this morning. I want to take just a second and look into the camera and welcome those of you that are watching online right now and those of you that are watching on shilohoutreach.com, maybe Facebook Live and listening to the podcast. A big shout out to Barrett in London, Kentucky, watching us. We know you're tuned in today, so we want to give you a big shout out. Also to all the ladies at our campus at the Claiborne County Detention Center. We love you all so much. And, of course, the Wild Bunch at the Tazewell location. We are one church wherever you are. So let's come together and give each other a great big hand right now. Would you do that? And so we are in a series that we're doing called Next. And it's dedicated, I'll say this, it's dedicated to those of you, especially to those of you that have just recently give your life to Jesus. We had a lot during our Easter services, and we actually could not count the hands that were going up. So we're going to work on that next year and do a better job. But anyway, it's just been a lot. God has really been moving. We've seen in October and November, in those 2 months, was a record for salvations and stuff. And so just a lot of folks. And it's really put it on my heart since then to help you to see what's next, you know, to know that there's something next. And I know sometimes when you make big decisions like that, it can be very difficult and kind of can a little scary maybe to know, well, you know, what's up. And so for part one of the series, Justin started us off talking about serving and how that we need to get connected. And I really can't put enough emphasis on that we really need to be connected to the body of Christ. You need to, and another thing in that is to find out what it is that you're called to do, because you are called. And so we want to help you with that and to discover that and then get connected and serve and be a part of what God is doing and so on, how important all that is. He did a great job on that. Last week I talked about the Word of God, and I said this, it sounds like a hard statement, but sometimes the truth will help us a whole lot, and this is one of those times. Because if you're not in the Word of God every day, you're not in a good place. And I say that from a pastor standpoint, and I say that in love today. I'm not trying to be hard on anybody or anything like that. But if I had one desire, it would be that all of you are in the Word of God every day. And I talked about that last week, used the illustration, the tea bag. I've got another illustration for you today. And so part three today is There Is More. And I've taught this over the years. If you've been here for a while, probably won't be anything new. Matter of fact, the whole series may not be anything new to you if you've been here for a while. But I wanted to just teach that and to show that there is more. And there's more. How many of you know today that you can't come to the end of a God in whom there is no end, you see? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today and just look into discovering a little bit more about the Lord. And one of the things I'm going to talk about, the Holy Spirit, and I don't know over the times that I've been here if there's anything more controversial than this. I as far as feedback goes, you know, you'll hear stuff and things like that. You wouldn't think so, but it is. And a lot of you have been taught different than what I'm going to say today. It'd be a little different for you. I'm going to ask you just to have an open mind and an open heart and read the Word of God. That's all. I don't really bring opinions to things, everybody. I don't put a whole lot of thought in things that way. I only just read the Word and I take it for face value and let it say what it says, mean what it mean, and those type of things. But there's more. There is more. And so today I'm going to be talking about the word baptism. The word baptism, you know, we use it in different ways, in different areas. But in the Bible and in the Greek language, the word baptism just simply means to immerse. That's all it means. It just simply means to immerse. And they actually use the word in terms of dyeing clothing. They would dye clothing, the Greeks would, and when they would dye the clothing, they would immerse clothing into dye. And so when they would immerse that clothing into dye and bring it back up, they called that baptizo. That's what that was the name for that. Well, the church kind of adapted that and started using that as a way for them at the time to understand the different areas of the Holy Spirit and what God is doing in our lives, and then even the physical baptism. That's our testimony. And so I want to try to explain those today and talk a little bit about that and just try to unpack that. I apologize for the notes today. The only reason that we don't have notes is because, folks, I didn't check them in time to realize they were the wrong ones, and so we had to pull them this morning, just to be honest with you. That's what happened. That's all on me again. I'm batting two strikes so far in the last 2 weeks. Somebody pray for me, okay? And so, but anyway, we'll actually get those notes for you and have them posted online this evening. So if you want to go online and pull those notes off, we'll have them available for you at that time. And so, but here's what I want you to know, and I want you to understand the main thing about it, is that it's easy for somebody to say, well, you need to serve. You really do need to serve. Well, yeah, okay, but how do I know what to say to somebody? How do I know what to do and those type of things? Or it's easy for me to stand up here and say, you need to read the Word of God every day. But it's another thing altogether to understand what you're reading. And so what I'm going to show you today is the how-to. And here's what happened. The Lord did not leave us without help. Matter of fact, He left us with a helper. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, the helper that He's left us. And, you know, Paul explains a little bit of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said this, he said, it is written, he said, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what the human mind has conceived. And so I want to call a time out because we have a time in theology, they'll kind of, I've heard this before, where they'll say, well, Paul had been beaten to death and he actually saw heaven and he's given a picture of heaven here. But the only thing about that is that he doesn't mention heaven in this at all. He doesn't say a word about heaven. And if you break it down and you take your time a little bit slower and we read it, you kind of understand where he's coming from. He says, no eye has seen, now watch this, no ear has heard. He's talking about something that's supernatural, something that goes beyond what we can understand. You see, a lot of times the roadblocks that we have when it comes to God is that the only thing we will receive is what we can understand. Let me speak to the analytical thinkers today. That's a big roadblock for you. I understand that a little bit. I've always been a person that I need to understand something to work on it or whatever I'm doing. I want to understand. I want to understand how it works. I want to understand all of the things about it. But folks, God's bigger than that. And all I can say to you is this, is that there's no way we're going to fully understand everything about God. This hard drive cannot handle that much information. Are you with me so far? And so he says that. He says, what no ear has heard, no mind has conceived, the things that God prepared for those who love him. These are the things he has revealed to us. Do y'all see what he's talking about here? He's talking about being revealed to us by the Spirit. And then he goes on to explain it a little bit deeper, and he says the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And so if we want to know the deep things of God, the only way that we're going to realize any of those is if we understand and have the Holy Spirit in a relationship with God in that way, because it is the Spirit that searches all things, the deep things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 goes on. He said, my message and my preaching was not with wise and persuasive words, but it was with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. I have felt this way before, and it may be in a different way, but I have felt this way when somebody says to me that, you know, we were just talking about what you said last night. And how did you know? Were you in the living room or something? I've heard that a whole lot. Like, how did you know that we were just talking about that? And all I want to say is this, everybody. Here it is. It wasn't with wise and persuasive words. It's the Lord that knows what we need to hear. Amen, everybody. It's the Lord that knows how to do that. I don't have no credit for anything like that. I have no idea. And so he says, and he says this, he says, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom. And the reason for that is this, is because if somebody can persuade you into something, somebody can come along that's better at it and persuade you right out of it, you see. And so what he's talking about here is a personal relationship with the Lord, the promise that the Spirit would come and lead and guide us in all matters of truth and righteousness. The message today is this, folks, is there is more. And I'll tell you, in all of my time here at this church, I have never seen, in the last year, I've seen more people come looking for more and believing there's more. I've never seen the like of it before, where it seems like that the Lord is just drawing people out, and they are looking for more, and they realize there's more, not sure what it is. And then, of course, if you get into the conversation too much, they'll say, you know, I'm looking for more, and I believe there's more, and then there's that caution all of a sudden. But, you know, the things I've seen before, I don't know about that. I'm too honest today, right? Everybody is so somber. It's true. And so we try to figure it out. Is that real? Is this not real? Is there more? It sure feels like there's more. And so today I want to submit to you that there is more, that you can't come to the end of God, that there's more, and that the Lord desires through the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. He desires to show you how that you can serve and do that effectively. He desires to show you the Word. He desires to show us, you see, to lead us, to walk with us. And so today, as we look at this, we're going to look at the baptisms. We're going to look at baptisms in different ways because they have different, they're different ways of it, different things that happen in our life along the journey. And he says this in 1 Corinthians, again, 4 and 20, says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, everybody. It's not just about talk. It's power, you see. And I want to say this to you. I need the power of God in my life. Don't you? I need that in my life. I need the power of God. I realized a long time ago that whatever I could know in here or anything like that would never be enough, you see. I need that. And so let's talk about these baptisms for just a minute. There are three of them. And the first one is the baptism into the body of Christ. It is salvation, you see. That's what happens when we're saved. I had a friend of mine say one time that in his mind or theology, I guess, the way he saw things, is that, you know, do you have the Holy Spirit? And I said, well, I got saved. And I said, listen, if you get saved, everybody, when you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. I mean, that's how the change takes place. You know how you know that you're saved? You know you're saved when you start loving things you used to hate and hating things you used to love. I just talked to somebody the other day, and they were telling me, they said, you know, I gave my life to Jesus not long ago, and he said, and all of a sudden, he said, he's talking about something he was doing that really wasn't right, and he said, you know, it's just like the Lord just, he said, and he didn't really even understand it, you know, he kind of said it this way, he said, it's just not right anymore. And all I could think of was, because you got it, my friend. The baptism into the body of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit living in us. See, God always starts from the inside out. And religion always starts from the outside in. Two completely different things. And so whenever we give our life to Jesus, he does that work inside of us, changes us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. He says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit, so to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile. See, none of that makes any difference when you're a part of the church. It's slave or free. We were all given one Spirit, baptized into the body of Christ. Galatians says it this way. He says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself. We see this difference taking place in this, the baptism. The baptism, the first one we experience is an inward. It's a feeling inward. And what I want to do, I want to take a second because I'm going to set this up a little earlier than I even originally thought I would. And I want to show you what I'm talking about. And that'll help me with the rest of the message. So I'm going to get my wife here. I'll add pretty wifey there. She loves it when I say stuff like that, everybody. Not really. I got her to open last week. And so you all pray for my marriage, if you would. She don't care for that stuff at all. So here we are, a vessel, okay? Whoa, just about a spilled. Here we are, a vessel, and we receive Jesus. You've heard that just one drop, right? Okay? And when we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, we're different inside. Are you with me so far? Okay. So you have the baptism here into the body of Christ. The second baptism that we see, this comes after that, is the water baptism, which is our public declaration of faith. Now, we have water baptisms today here in Middlesboro and water baptisms at the Tazewell location. A water baptism is just simply this. It is the person that has been changed on the inside now testifying and showing all of you what has happened. That's what it is. One of the things that always amazed me was how it seemed like that the Holy Spirit moved in such a powerful way during water baptisms. And then it dawned on me one day, that's because that when we testify of what Jesus has done in our life, the Holy Spirit bears witness of that testimony, you see. And so that's what water baptism is. Water baptism is a public declaration of our faith. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. He says, those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. That's a lot of folks, everybody. And so He goes on to say this in Matthew chapter 10 because it kind of sets the precedence in our life. He said, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father. One of the things I realized with water baptism early on, it seemed like, was that whenever we do that, we are actually setting ourselves up as a testimony in the future as well. You know, when we take that bold step of water baptism, then it actually gives us the opportunities and the power to be able to testify to what Jesus has done in the future. And so he says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown. That's big words, everybody, right? Strong language. But how many of you know that when Christ has set us free, we've got a story to tell? Amen. You know, somebody told me one time, they said, well, I would talk to people about it, but I really don't know what to say. And I said, well, I understand that. I mean, I wasn't a scholar by any stretch of the imagination, still not. But think about Paul. The Apostle Paul, before Paul wrote Corinthians or before he went into any of that sort of thing, before he knew all of that and before God revealed those things to him, he stands in front of Agrippa. And he don't know what to say. So what he does, he tells his testimony. He just begins to tell Agrippa what happened. I was on this road, and I was minding my own, on my way, and then all of a sudden I get knocked off, and I heard this voice, and then my eyes were scaled, and all this kind of stuff, and the next thing I know, I'm different in here, and, you know, I mean, that's what we do. We tell our testimony, you know. And so we acknowledge him. That's what the water baptism is all about. But the third one is controversial, and it's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's living a Spirit-empowered life. Now, I want to talk about this a little bit because there's a lot of controversy surrounding it. I've known people that said, well, if you've not had the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. And I'm like, what? I just challenge sometimes, and then sometimes I just walk off, everybody, because when you get saved, I want to try to emphasize this to you today. When you get saved, that's God starting the work on the inside of you. That's where the Lord always starts. He always starts on the inside. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the outward pouring. Let me show you what I mean. This is what it looks like when we get saved, okay? On the inside, we're different. On the inside, we have been changed. A baptism in the Holy Spirit is, this is baptism into the body. And if I take this vessel and I put it in this, now it is surrounded on the outside, you see. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is God doing a work on the outside of us. And get this, everybody, please stay with me for just a minute. It has nothing to do with salvation, okay? It has everything to do with ministry. If you want to know how is it? I've heard this before. I don't know really how, but I seem to have discernment over certain issues. Have you ever been talking to somebody? Let me give you an example. Have you ever been talking to somebody before, and all of a sudden you just begin to speak to them, and it's just like the words are flowing, and they got tears streaming off their cheeks, and you have no idea what's affecting them so much? Or that you've said something that was just that good for them at that very moment that they needed it. I was in my wife's work one time, and I was talking to this person, and they had tears streaming down their cheeks. And I remember walking out of there. This is just, you know, I'm just telling you the human side of me here. But I remember walking out of there and thinking, wow, that was good. But I'll tell you what I knew. I knew it wasn't David. It was an outward, watch this, an outward pouring of the Holy Spirit on me for the work of ministry. That's what an outward does. And what's happened to us, everybody, and I will show you this because it'll help you to understand a little bit about why that you're hesitant about this and why that something, because you've seen things before that where people were outwardly maybe had a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and all they did was draw attention to themselves. And then you look at it and you think, well, just something's not right about that. Have you ever had that moment? I mean, where you just looked at some situation like that and you're thinking, something's not right. Well, I can make it simple because I'm a simple guy. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not for our glory, it's for His glory. It's not to do something for us, it's to do something for others. The reason that God gives us gifts and the reason He gives you discernment is not to judge somebody, it's to pray for them. The reason He would give you the gift of knowledge of maybe a word or something for somebody is for the benefit of others. And what I need you to understand today is this, folks. We can't serve Him effectively and with power unless we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives, you see. And I'm going to say, I'm not trying to be hard or I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. And this saying this has done that before. I'm not trying to do that. But it was never intended to be spooky or scary or any of those things. I believe that God can be powerful in our lives without being that, you see. One person, say amen and I'll move on. Amen. It's true. And so you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you this in the Scripture. We're going to lay it out and just kind of give you an idea of how it works, how it's shown to us in the Scriptures, and then we'll kind of go from there. But if you've just given your life to Jesus, believe me, on the inside, you're going to be different. If you have surrendered to Him, you're going to be different. In order to be effective and powerful in the kingdom of God, you're going to need it all around you as well. Are y'all with me so far? And then, so he goes on to say this. He says, Philip went down to the city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. But when they believed, everybody say believed. But when they believed, Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. That's how many of you know that's believing in Christ. You become a believer in Christ. And they were baptized, both men and women. He goes on to say this. He says, and when the apostles in Jerusalem heard Samaria had accepted the word of God. Who is the word of God? Jesus. Jesus is the word of God. So they had accepted the word of God. They sent Peter and John to Samaria, and when they arrived, they prayed for new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And he says, because the Holy Spirit had not come on. Everybody say on. On if you're from the mountains, and on if you're not from here. Everybody with me so far on that? Are you good? You good? Okay. It's on in my world. Do you know what on means? Is on is outside, right? In, everybody with me so far? In, inside, on, outside, or on, if you're from here. The Spirit had not yet come on them, you see. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. We're talking about ministry here. You know, it's one thing, like I said, at the first of this, to show you that, hey, you know what? You're called. And I know that's different for a lot of people to believe that and understand that, especially if you come from a culture as ours is here. I can't speak for other places, but here it's like, well, he was called, or they've been called to the ministry. I used to hear that all the time. And I remember early on thinking to myself, and I'd read, you know, Ephesians, and that's just not what it says. It's clear, folks, clear in the Word of God that we're all called, that we all have purpose and plan, and we have a mission, you see, to do something great for the kingdom of God. And here's what I'm trying to tell you, and I'll say this in love, everybody. Not I don't want to be controversial today, but I'm telling you, you need more than just you to be effective in the lives of people, you see. And 1 John chapter 5, he says, there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, salvation, water baptism, the Spirit. You see the three different areas there. Let me give you some things that the Holy Spirit does that's going to help. I want to encourage you to pursue God like you've never done before, okay? If you're living in this world right now where you say, you know what, I believe there's more, there is more. There is. Okay? The first one is just simply this. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live righteously. That's on the inside. That's on the inside. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live righteously. In the Old Testament, the law was written in stone. Under the new covenant, that law is written in our hearts. In the Old Testament, it was obey and live. The New Testament is believe and live. It's two completely different things. Outward versus inward. Religion versus relationship, you see. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to live righteously. I heard somebody said this to me one time. I was witnessing to them, and they said, I just don't believe I could do that. And my reply was, that's because you can't. Folks, unless the Lord does something inside of us, unless the Lord changes this, you know who David would pick? David, 100% of the time. We're born selfish, born broken, and that's how we'll live. That's why we have to be born again, you see. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says this. It says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Are you seeing it? He says, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. In other words, when we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. But it's not just that way. That's the part that he does that changes us. That's the part that he does that changes our life and empowers us to live right. Now, the second thing the Holy Spirit does, watch this. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live supernaturally. Supernaturally. And here's why. Because naturally, what I can do is not enough. I have no idea what somebody needs to hear. If I'm talking to somebody that's broken or somebody that's having a hard time in life right now, somebody that's dealing with something that's very difficult, I have no idea. I have no idea at all. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says this. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around what doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. And how did he do that? He did that because God was with him, you see. And I want to submit to you today that if you're ever going to walk in the calling that God has in your life, you will do it only under the power of God. Because what we're able to do naturally will never be enough. We're not smart enough. We have no idea what needs to happen or when. None of that, you see. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this. It says, Paul said, my message and preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, with a demonstration, rather, of God's power. And he did that so that your faith wouldn't rest in human wisdom. You know, we had that movement, I don't know now where it's at now, but it was deconstructing faith. And my daughter kind of brought me in, showed me that. And a lot of people were deconstructing. It was amazing. They had pastors deconstructing their faith, pastors that were saying, I used to believe this, I don't anymore, type thing. And you know, I saw this movement taking place a whole lot, and I began to watch some of the testimonies of the people that were deconstructing. Now, I'm not mad at them. I'm curious. What could happen in somebody's life that would cause them to want to just walk off from everything? And I realized that day that every one of them had the same kind of testimony. And not one of them ever talked about having an encounter with a living God. And folks, I'm telling you, we need to have an encounter with a living God because our God is alive and well, and he is more than able to do that. And when we have something supernatural take place in our life, supernatural take place in our life, when he comes inside of us and changes our heart and who we are and the very nature of the things that we've always done before, when he does that and you're different, I tell you, a supernatural encounter like that will change you. Or a supernatural encounter with God where the Spirit of God comes on you for the benefit, everybody, of somebody else. Not for the benefit of us to show ourselves or to draw attention to ourselves or anything like that. But God intends to give us everything we need to do what we're called, you see, to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I got to call a timeout on this one for just a second. I got to hurry. Each of us have been given that manifestation. A manifestation is on. Why would the Holy Spirit's already living in you. But the Holy Spirit comes on us, and Paul tells us here in Corinthians why that happens. It happens for the common good. It happens for the benefit of other people, you see, for the benefit of others. And so if you walk up to somebody and you're called and you have purpose and a mission, and somebody needs some wise advice, you know what needs to happen to you? The Holy Spirit needs to come on you and give you some wise advice. Come on, somebody. What if somebody needs a word of knowledge that's just something that goes beyond anything that you understand or something that you know? They need a word of knowledge. You know what needs to happen in our life? We need to get a word of knowledge from God. And God still does that. He still operates in that way, you see. Great faith. I've always said I've got normal faith. But I've had times where I were praying for somebody, or was praying for somebody rather, and all of a sudden, I just had great faith for just a moment. And I wish it would stay with you like forever, but it was there at that moment. And I've seen miracles take place. Miracles take place. And how we've gotten to a place where we withdraw from all of that, maybe because you were turned away from it, because you saw things that just seemed selfish to you or seemed to draw attention to somebody, to their own self. But I'm telling you, folks, God's still in the miracle-working business. And the Holy Spirit still comes on us for the work of ministry and for the benefit of others. He comes in us at salvation to change us and on us to make us powerful. The third thing is this. The Holy Spirit empowers you to stay on the mission, to live on it. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, not simply with some understanding of everything. No. It came with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. and you know how we lived for your sake. I'm going to finish up with this. I've said this before, and I didn't make this up. I just, you know, heard it, and I've used it ever since. But here it goes, everybody, the final thing. Being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. It makes me better than me. Because I need that, you see. It doesn't make me better than anybody else. And it's not about me. If I'm able to give somebody a word that encourages them or something they need to hear at that very moment in their life or whatever it is, of all those gifts that's listed in Corinthians, and I believe in all of them. I do. But I know this, that of all of those that's listed, they're listed for the benefit of others, you see. And if you've just recently given your life to Jesus, please listen to me. You're called to the ministry, and you're going to need the power of God in your life to ever be effective in it. Now let me close up with this final thought, okay? Have you had that change inside? Let's finish up there today. Have you had the change inside? If you had a moment where you just surrendered your life to Him. That's a big word. That's difficult sometimes to do. To just surrender your life to Him and say, Lord, I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you today all of my preconceived ideas. I'm giving you today everything I think. Or even I'm giving you today what I don't understand. Sometimes that holds us back. I'm giving you all of that stuff today, and I'm just saying, Lord, today, just, I remember the prayer of a friend of mine one time. Lord, today I'm a mess. But if you want me, here I am, she said. I'm giving you all of me today. Folks, if you're in here today and you're a mess, you're in good company. We've all been there. We're either there or there right now. And the Lord specializes in taking a mess and redeeming it. Redeeming means to bring you back to your original place. If you're in here right now and you say, you know what, I'm just not sure. I don't know. I don't know if I left here today, heaven would be my home. If that's you right now, I want to give you an opportunity to be a part of a prayer. And I promise you, this has nothing to do with us anyway, between me and you. This is between you and God. He's the one that saves. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to be a part of that prayer. I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to bring you to the front. I'm not going to do any of those things. All I'm going to do is just give you an opportunity to say yes to Him and to surrender. And if you'll do that and you'll mean it from here, He'll know this. If you'll do that and mean it from here, He'll fill you from the inside out. He'll change your life. Let me ask you if you would, at both locations, all of our locations right now, bow your heads with me for just a minute. Close your eyes and let's give everybody a moment right now between them and the Lord, you see. This is a moment right now that's between you and the Lord. And so if you're in here right now or you're watching online or you're at one of the other locations and God's dealing with you. See, I don't know this, but you do. If God's dealing with you right now and you know you need to be changed from the inside out. You want to say yes to Jesus. You want to be born again. To be forgiven and to be free. If that's you and you want to be a part of this prayer, would you do this right now? Would you just lift your hand up and say, that's me. Before the Lord right now, I see you. God bless you. Anybody else? So proud of you at the Tazewell location right now. I see you back over here. God bless you. Here's what I want to do, everybody. I want to ask all of us, because we're family, okay? All of us together, let's just all pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, today I ask you to forgive me. Today I surrender everything to you. Today I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise right there. Would you do that? Awesome, everybody. Awesome. They're going to come up and get ready for the baptism here. If you would, stand with me for just a minute. And let's get ready to worship Him. Give God our very best right now because He's worthy. Amen. This is what it's all about, everybody. And I just don't want to ever lose sight of that. We want to reach. How many of you know today our goal is to take as many people to heaven with us as we possibly can? Amen. And you know, I'll tell you something that will forever change your life. It's just pursue more of God, because there's more. Pursue more. It's not scary. It's not spooky. It's not selfish. It's none of those things. What, you know what will happen? The Holy Spirit will give you the power when you need it to be effective for the kingdom. And I wish just for one moment, that you all could see what I see when I look at you. The potential, the calling of God in your life. To be able to look into your eyes and say, you know what, they're called, they're going to do something great. And I'm not going to do it, but I could call some of you out at some of the things that God has done in your life lately. And it's the Holy Spirit, everybody. On us. In us first, salvation. On us for the work of ministry. And you're called to it. So I just want to urge you to seek Him. To seek more of the Lord. And because there's more there for you, He'll empower you to do anything that you need to do for the benefit of others. He'll empower you at that moment to do that. He'll give you what you need when you need it. Amen, everybody. And so I'm going to be here in the front just in a minute. If you have any questions or anything for today's, even today's message or about the church, we're going into step three today, which is our final on our growth track. At the first of the month, we'll be starting a growth track again with how you can get connected and serve and that. But next week, I got to tell you about this because I'm excited about it. I've been doing a long time trying to get this ready. But if you feel stuck right now, if you say, you know what, I just feel like I'm not growing, I feel stuck. If you feel that way, I'm urging you, after the second service, we're going to have the next step. It's going to start happening every month on the fourth week of the month. We'll go through growth track, but this is separate. This next step is separate, and you don't have to be a member to come. You don't have to go to this church to come. Listen, we'll feed you and take care of you. And what you're going to be doing is going through and answering some questions. And it's not for us. We're not taking this information. It's not for us to know. It's for you. For you. And you when you get to the end of that, it'll show you what your next step is in the growth process. Because we're all in one. Amen. And so think about that next week. I encourage as many as you as can to come to it. And I hope we run out of seats and food. Come on, somebody. But after the second service next week, we'll have that for you. So if you feel stuck, I just want to encourage you with that. They're going to give us an opportunities up there to give. And I just want to thank all of you right now for being, you're so faithful. This church is so faithful. It's mind-blowing. And so just thank all of you for that. And if you're a guest today, like I say, no pressure whatsoever on this part of it. All the home folks, there that is. And so there'll be some folks at the back door. If you're a guest today, fill out that connection card and drop it in. If you didn't have the opportunity to do so, there's a information desk out here. You can put it in a slot out there, and we'll get that. I'll mail something to you. I'll thank you for coming, and won't bother you after that, okay? You want a phone call, ask, and I'll give you one. But other than that, I'd love to send that out to you. So let me pray for us before we go. If you need prayer for anything at all here, we'll be right here in the front, okay? Ready to pray. Lord, right now, thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of what you're doing. And Lord, right now, I thank you more than anything for those today that said yes to you. Their eternal destiny is changed. And so, Lord, today, I thank you for that. I thank you for allowing all of us to be a part of it. And for just loving them so very much, Lord, today. And Lord, I pray for them as they walk in this journey, and it is a journey, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you're just with them. Lord, the Holy Spirit's with them every step of the way. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.